As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app as well. Linnell Willingham alongside Toby Altizer will take you up to 2 p.m. Eastern time. Big show for you all. Make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all afternoon long. We're giving away Caps Game 1 tickets today every hour at 20 minutes past the hour until 5:20. So make sure you keep it locked on The Fan all day for that Game 1 of the Caps opening round series coming up this Monday from Cap One Arena. Super, super excited about that. 6 days away from the NFL draft, though. That is what I am even more excited about. And it's crazy. I was saying it to you, Toby, before we came back from break. It feels like with this year's draft, I've contradicted myself each and every day on social media.
Well, you've never done that, by
never.
The way. That's kind of new.
Contradicting myself?
Yeah, that's a pretty new one for you.
Sell that to someone who's buying. But no, the one thing that I continue to feel about this draft is it's the most wild card driven draft I think we'll ever see here in recent memory in terms of the Commanders at pick number 29. I think they can go any which way. I think there's a bunch of speculation about what's going to happen at the top of the draft. We'll obviously get into that as well in terms of what happens with the quarterbacks. But with Washington at 29, I feel like, and this is something that we do as a toxic fan base, right? Everyone wants to be right. Everyone wants to have their guy get picked. This is the first time really in a while where I think anything can happen at pick number 29. Literally anything. There are so many different positions of need that this group has. Let me rephrase that. That's looking at it with the glass half empty. The glass half full. I'm hearing this weird echo. I know you're probably hearing it too. The glass half full approach is, well, they've done what they've needed to in free agency, so there aren't any glaring holes that you have to address. And one thing we'll get into before we get out of here is what do they need to leave the draft with?
Yeah.
Because I think there are some things that you for damn sure need. But I want to talk about running back here for a second because it feels like it's the sexy position that everyone wants. Washington needs a home run hitter in the backfield. I understand that completely. But what I will say about running back is this. I'm starting to lean towards it being irresponsible to take a running back at 29 and 61, depending on who's on the board. Now, if Omarion Hampton is on the board at 29, like that becomes a very difficult conversation for me. If Trevion Henderson is on the board at 61, that becomes a difficult conversation for me. But at 29, if I'm having to pick between Trevion Henderson and an elite edge rusher or Nick Emenwori at safety, like, I think positional value, we don't equate that or factor that enough into the conversation when it comes to running back. We just look at, oh, we need a guy to be explosive on offense.
I think this is a great discussion because I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah talk about this the other day. When you look at this draft and we talk about the quality of the players in this draft, maybe this is a unique one in that you kind of throw a little bit of that away. You don't fully take it out because there is understanding that an edge rusher is more impactful and worth more because you can't find them growing on trees, right? Like, you can't find an edge rusher as easily as you can a running back that can be effective. But the thing that I think is interesting here is you say you don't want to draft Travion Henderson at 29. That's understandable. But if you're given the option between edge rusher 5 or if you have Travion as a guy that you're running back 3 and he's, say, 18 on your board, and edge rusher 6 who's available at 29 is somewhere in the 30s, I wouldn't be mad if they did it, because to me, when you look at this offense, to me, they're one weapon away. You want a speedy receiver? Fine. You want to go another pass-catching tight end? Fine. You want to get an explosive running back? Fine. I think one of those things needs to happen. Running back's the easiest. I think the part about this that makes it so intriguing, though, and why I think you have a good point here, is at 29, you're going to end up spending a premium pick on a running back that theoretically is better, but not significantly better than a guy that you could get maybe in the third or fourth round. Like, to me, what is the gap between Travion Henderson and my guy from Virginia Tech, Bashiel Tutin? I think there's a gap. Yeah. I think Henderson's better, but if you could get Bashiel Tutin in the third or fourth round, that's a better value than spending number 29 on Travion Henderson. So I think that's what they really have to weigh.
And that's why the draft is such a unique way to acquire talent, because you're dependent upon others. Like, free agency, you kind of just, you throw the most money at the guy you want, you get him. Here, you're really at the mercy of what happens in front of you. I just don't know, man. Like, Omarion Hampton, I've banged on the table for him. I don't think the gap between him and Jenty is that big. I felt that way since the start of the process. Every mock draft that you see now, though, it's becoming less and less likely that Henderson is there at 29. I don't think Omarion Hampton's going to be there at 29.
Yeah, he's not going to be there at 29.
So with that being the case, like, I'm not taking Travion Henderson at 29. Like, and I know there are some people that probably feel like that's the appropriate thing to do. I just think, last night I was saying to you that I watched the Falcons game over last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there in bed and I'm getting goosebumps, because I'm remembering how damn good this quarterback is, talking about Jaden Daniels. And because he is so good, I get wanting to load up the skill group on offense, but he is going to mask and cover up for a lot of your sins on the offensive side of the football. Go defense. This defense couldn't stop anybody last year on the ground. I think there are more defensive prospects in this draft anyway than there are offensive guys. So, like, at 29 and 61, my ideal scenario probably, Toby, is walking away with two impact starters on defense.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but to play devil's advocate mm-hmm. here, you said you watched that Atlanta game. You watched number 7 in the Falcons uniform destroy Washington's defense. If you could get a guy like that, now, Bijan is one of a kind.
Well, you're not, that's the thing.
But if Travion Henderson's there at 29, I think this is the most reasonable discussion, because there is a chance he could be.
Yeah.
I think he can be that kind of back. Not as good as Bijan, but a home run hitter. Where, think about this. This is what I'm picturing right now. This is why I want an explosive back. I want Jaden to run a read option. They're so worried about 5 mm-hmm. that they leave that hole open, and all of a sudden Travion Henderson breaks one tackle and he's gone for 65. B-Rob can't do that. Eckler can't do that. They can break that first tackle, but they're picking up 10-15. I want a dude that is a house call waiting to happen so that you have to respect 5 and you have to respect the running back.
So what I think is my bigger want, and I think maybe hopefully I speak for all of us. Hopefully you all agree with me. I don't think, like, running back is the need, quote-unquote, on offense. I think it's an explosive,
correct,
home run hitting type of player. That could be via wide receiver. That could be via the running back spot. Or, look. The kid, Arroyo from Miami, the tight end?
Yeah, Elijah Arroyo.
Dude, gas.
Yeah, I'm telling
you. He's an explosive weapon on the offensive side of the football. So I get the bigger point of wanting to get more explosive, because last year, I mean, it was fun to watch. It's demoralizing to other teams. But how likely is it that you can duplicate or replicate last year going 17 plays, eating up 8:30 o'clock? Like, that's not a lifestyle you want to live, so to speak.
Yeah, I think, like I said, they're one weapon short. And you choose what that is, whether, and really you can figure that out in the draft. If, you know, this stud receiver that you didn't think was going to be there, maybe that's the way, or a running back, whatever. Yeah. Because to me, what you have is Terry's your number 1. We know that. There's no question. Terry can do a little bit of everything. I want Terry to be able to do everything, though. And right now, he's your really only speed threat in the offense.
Right.
And so, you're again, mentioned in the Falcons game, A.J. Terrell's on him. Also, either Jesse Bates or Justin Simmons, always over the top of Terry.
Yeah.
I want it so that another receiver on the other side makes that safety not on the hash on Terry's side, but in the middle of the field, right? Because this guy's speedy. Okay, well, if I can't have that, I've got horizontal with Debo, right? You've got to be able to understand that. You've got to be able to set the edge and do those things against Debo with where he's moving all around and those screens, you got to be physical. Okay, well, I need someone that then can penetrate the defense up the middle, and I need someone that doesn't just get me 5 yards. Like, I think B-Rob is going to be better this year than he was last year. I think the second half of last year was not good at all.
I also think he was nicked up, too. Well, he almost broke his ankle.
That might be the case, but my thing is, I want a dude that you are scared when he touches the football. Like, every time Jahmyr Gibbs touched the football in that playoff game, you went, uh-oh, get him on the ground, please.
Yeah.
Every time that Bijan touched the football against Atlanta, you're like, are they going to be able to get him? I want that sort of dude in the backfield. Or, to your point, if it needs to be another seam-stretching tight end, right? Zach Ertz is going to be all reliable in the middle of the field, 7 to 8 yards past the line of scrimmage, always open because he's just chilling in the soft spots of the zone. If I can get a dude that can run up the seam and creates another problem there, so it doesn't have to be all three of those things, whether it's a speedy receiver, a seam stretching tight end, or a explosive running back. But if you get me one of those, I think your offense goes to that next level.
For sure. And I think relative to running back, it's just such a deep class, man, that there's better value at the running back position on day three, late day two. Like, I would not feel comfortable. And I've gone back and forth on this, and maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and feel completely different when I crack the mic. But, like, this morning, today, like, I'm just, it feels like going running back at 29 or 61 may be irresponsible depending on who's on the board and what your other needs are. And it feels like, to me, defense. Like, the closer we get to the draft, the closer the more I remember how much this defense struggled last year. And you lost Jeremy Chinn, and as excited as we are about Will Harris and the play style that he showed in New Orleans, he's not a guy that's been a formidable starter throughout the duration of his career. And I get that that doesn't mean that he can't be. But, like, if Nick Emenwori is there at 29 staring me in the face, more importantly, and I don't think this guy will be there, if Malachi Starks is staring me in the face at 29, like, how do I choose a running back over that, knowing the big glaring hole I have at safety? And some of you may not agree with that, right? I love Percy Butler as a special teamer. Being a regular on defense, not something I think he's prepared for. I think he takes bad angles. I don't think he tackles very well. But he fits the brand of what they want to be.
Sure.
He's fast. He's explosive. He's going to fly around. He's a war daddy on special teams. That's great. If he never turns into a starting safety, he's going to be able to have generational wealth and feed his family for years. That's great. I just feel like that may be the one position where I go, are we sure that we like what we have there? You're an injury to Quan Martin away from feeling like you have nothing at safety. If we're being real about it.
100%. And this is where I think they put themselves in a good spot, where at 29 you can go a lot of different directions, and I just think there needs to be an understanding where they could go running back, they could go receiver, they could go a lot of different places, because it might be as simple as on their board, their overall board, they have this guy 10, 15, 20 spots higher than the guy you want them to take. You know, is it better to go and say, I have to take the edge rusher, I have to take James Pierce, I have to take choose your edge rusher that might be available at 29 versus this guy shouldn't have been here according to our board. And so we just got to take him, whether it's running back, whether it's safety, whether it's corner, whatever it may be. If Colston Loveland is there at 29 at tight end,
you run in the pick.
I'll take that.
You sprint to the – there are certain guys that if they're there at 29 – this is what's so interesting, and I think the good teams in the NFL benefit from this year in, year out, like your Kansas City –
Philly.
Buffalo, Philly, Baltimore, those teams that are consistently picking at the back end of the draft, they're constantly having a really good football player fall to them that shouldn't be there.
Well,
and I think that's what Washington's going to run into.
This is what I want to correct our fan base on, because it's really frustrated me with this. So many people are like, well, 29, basically a second-round pick. It's really difficult to find your guy. That's what good teams have to deal with.
I know, right?
That's how it works. Like, I'm sorry that your team has sucked for my entire life,
yeah.
Right? Our team has sucked for our entire life. We're used to picking in the top 15. Just because you're picking at 29 doesn't give you the excuse like, well, they don't hit it this year, no big problem.
No.
You have to hit it.
For sure.
This is what Adam Peters and these guys get paid for.
Yeah.
That's what their job is.
To your point, and this, like, we're jumping all over the place here. That's why, to me, at 29, this idea of taking, oh, the edge rusher ran 4 flat, though. His 10-yard split, though. No. Get me production. Give me a guy that's done it at the collegiate level. At a high level, like the Shamar Stewart thing, Shamar Stewart from A&M, like the sack production is not there for him. It's tough, right? When you go out and you knock the combine out of the park the way that he did, but he had 4.5 sacks over the span of 4 years. Like, that to me scares the hell out of me.
Well,
I don't need a guy that they're going to have to develop. I need someone that can come in and contribute right away.
I just need you to understand that they don't get an excuse because they're picking so late.
Exactly.
Like, it's not a throwaway pick. It's still a first-round pick. They have to hit on these things. They have to. Like, why is Philadelphia still good year after year after year? They hit on their draft picks, whether they're picking in the top 15 or whether they're picking in the 30s. You have to hit on your draft picks. And so at pick number 29, whether it's an edge rusher, wherever they go, they have to be able to hit on it. And by the way, it's not just we pick the right guy. You have to develop this guy. You have to turn them. Because I go back to Ron. I don't necessarily love what Ron did in the draft. The guys that he drafted that none are here, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the issue for Ron was who he drafted. I think part of it is he drafted guys that he overdrafted and then couldn't develop them at all. If you say at 29, I want to go for this guy because we need an edge rusher and maybe there's a better player, but we can develop this guy into being a stud, then do that. But I hate this notion that it's like, oh, we should trade the first rounder because it's basically a second rounder for this guy, or we should do this, and it's really tough to find somebody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, certain teams in the NFL are really, really good. They're always picking in the late end of the first round, yet they still find good players. Trent McDuffie wasn't a top 5 pick. Right, and Trent McDuffie's a stud, one of the best corners in the league. You can find good players late. So miss me with this idea that Washington at 29 now has some excuse where they can't hit on a draft pick.
You have to
hit it.
I totally agree with you. I think, especially off of what you accomplished last year, going to the NFC Championship game, you are very much in your Super Bowl window as we continue to talk about whether you all are comfortable admitting it or not. Like, this is a group, based off the moves they made this offseason, that clearly feels like they are going for it. So I think your draft needs to reflect that as well. A lot more to get to. We'll continue the conversation on the National Football League as we continue to move throughout the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, though, caller number 9, the time is yours. Call in to 800-636-1067 to win a pair of tickets to Game 1 for the 2025 playoffs with the Washington Capitals Monday, April the 21st. Versus Montreal at Capital One Arena. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com.